Yes, life passing by on a screen. Thinking is the best way to travel. I wonder if that's how they travel. And then once they travel, they just materialize and then think themselves right out of your face and back into space. Or as that old boy said in the crystal skull thing with Indiana Jones, the space between the spaces. A most singular conversation with Whitley Strieber. He's been on many times on Coast to Coast AM, and it's always very interesting. And I think it's pretty darned interesting tonight. Hope you're enjoying the music. The songs are posted on the coasttocoastam.com website, contoured for your listening pleasure. All right, our final hour is here. We'll take some of your calls. You've heard the numbers, so set them up, and we'll knock them down. We'll be right back with Whitley Strieber in just a moment. This is Coast to Coast AM. I just heard this fellow doing a mortgage company commercial. I don't know what you heard, but the mortgage company commercial talking about getting harped. I wonder if he knows what that means to us. maybe it's just 1A with him. Anyway, Whitley, I want to ask you something. The increase in UFO activity, I understand there's been a considerable increase on the West Coast. And I'm wondering, in your experience, does an increase in UFO sightings correlate with an increase in close encounters among persons?
Yes, it does. There is a correlation. I'll give you an example of what I mean. One of the best documented cases of close encounter is the Karina Sables case from Kelowna in British Columbia, which happened some years ago. And the way this case came to my attention was that Brian Veich, who is a UFO researcher up in that neck of the woods, was telling me that there was a terrific UFO wave taking place up there. And that people were he was getting calls from all over the place about him. And I then received in my email an email from Karina, who didn't know anything about Brian Veich, apparently, and saying that she had had this close encounter experience in the company of a friend. And I was interested because of the fact that multiple witness encounters are always important. And not only that, they were injured and had medical attention for their injuries. And that's an example of what happens. What happened to them was very typical. They saw, they for some reason felt like they wanted to go driving out at night to look at the stars. And it's a pretty woodsy area out there. And they were driving, they stopped on the roadside, and they saw this triangular pattern of three stars moving across the sky. And when people see UFOs, if you notice a UFO, the UFO notices you. Definitely, and there can be interaction that starts in some cases immediately, as in this case. The next thing they became aware of the fact that there seemed to be some animals in the woods right near them, right on the roadside, and they were scared because, you know, there's a lot of bears and things around there. They didn't want to get hurt and started to get back in the car, and they saw these things with green glowing eyes in the woods. I believe one of them had a flashlight, or Karina had turned on the lights in the car. I'm not sure which happened. I don't remember. And they saw these bright green glowing slanted eyes, and the next thing they knew, they were in an abduction situation. And so it's an example of a UFO wave that has an abduction connected with it. And I noticed that when there are certain types of UFO wave, these UFOs are around all the time now. They're here all the time. It's not something that happens, once in a blue moon. It happens every day, every night. And if you use infrared sensitive camera, you can pick up UFO activity anywhere at night. There's plenty of them in the sky that aren't visible to the naked eye, that are visible in infrared. So, but when you get one of these real waves, then there will be close encounter reports from the area also. We've never really correlated them because it's not overwhelming. In other words, you might have a UFO wave taking place, and then there are three or four close encounter reports from the area. It's not as if 50 people had it happen to them or something.
Right. I'll tell you what, would you like to take a call from Joanna? She says she has implants and is working with Lear. Shall we talk to her for a moment?
Sure.
Let's do it. First-time caller, Joanna, come on the bridge of the mothership and speak with me and Whitley Strieber.
Oh, hi, Whitley. Hello, Wells.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is there any way that you can sit in through Skype or something this coming Saturday when Yvonne Smith does hypnosis with me?
I don't know what you mean.
I'm going to go to her office for hypnosis.
What's this about implants, Joanna?
I've been having contact for the last week, and I hadn't had contact since, like, December, I thought. And then Steve Colburn and ANS, you know, the booth they had at the conference, well, I already thought I had an implant, and the two that they found were admitting radio frequencies. And then I went and had more x-rays done, and you can see them in my foot and ankle where there were scoop marks. And the one behind my ear, I don't know, it didn't show up the same as the x-rays did on my foot and ankle. But when I went to the neurosurgeon in Albuquerque, Dr. Pamela Castillo, and showed her my report from ANS Research, first thing she asked me was if I had had UFO experiences, and I told her many, and I told her multiple. And she asked me if I thought they were alien implants, and I said, well, from what I can remember, I said something happened, and it's still happening. And then the other day, I bought a black light, and I found some more dye on me.
What do you make of that, Whitley?
Take it
easy, Joanna. You're all right. You're among friends now. Just hold on now. That's got to be a tough experience to go through. Does this resonate a little bit with your experience, Whitley?
What I make of it is this. This lady should not have to be talking to us like this, because it's not fair. It's not fair that people are not told what's happening to them, and that there is no explanation for it, that there is no support of any significance, except thank goodness she's got somebody like Yvonne to help her, who is a good friend and has also a good friend to Close Encounter Witnesses. But the thing is, most people in this world who have this happen to them don't have anything like the support that she has, that or a chance to get the object removed from their body. They're just alone with this, alone, utterly alone with it. And this will come and it can become very intense, like it is with you right now, where it will be just unfolding again and again and again. It's as if it is like it was in my life. At one point, it was just a daily, nightly affair. Then it went on for years. But I will say this, I'm not hurt. I'm here, and it doesn't bother me anymore. And I don't know of many cases of people being injured. There may be cases where people have been injured, and there may be cases where people have gone missing that are connected with this. I know that David Politis, who specializes in missing persons reports, has been on Coast a number of times and been on my show, Dreamland, too, as well. But we're not sure. All I can say is my heart goes out to you, and I hope that you can get some kind of closure with this and stick close to the people who are helping you. That's all I can say. Because the truth is, we don't know enough and are not told enough and do not have adequate scientific or medical support. What happened with the neurologist? Did the neurologist, what happened in that case? What eventually was said?
She told me that when she was 17 years old on her way to work, that she saw a mothership and pulled off the side of the road for about 20 minutes and watched it, and that she knows that UFOs are real, and that her friend will be down from New York on the 21st, and that she stays in contact with the aliens, and she would ask her why they're bothering me.
You know, Joanna, this might be a little bit of a stretch, and Whitley, you jump in here anytime you want to, but Joanna, this is, while it may be frightening and upsetting to you, I would submit to you that this is an opportunity. I mean, you're in the pioneer realm now. This is really quite special what's happened, and you may be one of the chosen ones to open this door. So I would suggest doing what Whitley said: stay close to this support system. When the neurologist says that she pulled off the side of the road to observe a mothership, that's pretty strong. So I would say, bear up, sister. Don't worry about it too much. Don't worry about things that are beyond your control. Just roll with it, because Whitley has said, to his knowledge, no one has been harmed. Now, you may feel a little on
that. I know of, but
that he knows of.
Yeah, that
so,
doesn't necessarily mean that's true. I don't want people to get the impression that this is all sweetness and light, because it ain't
right.
Rough.
No.
Well, I didn't mean to imply that.
No.
I'm just saying. Fear if it was all a beautiful little fairy tale.
No,
right.
I don't have fear of nothing, but something has the hell scared out of me. And I found out, there's police reports of me missing several years ago when I had the scoop during the scoop mark time. And then back in December, apparently I was missing for over a half a day or a half the evening. And that's been documented with the sheriff's department, and I'm going to pick that report up when I come out to Los Angeles this coming week. And then also my psychic and remote viewing ability has been documented through Dr. Sally Reinfeather in Homeland Security. And I don't know why I'm like that. And the medicine men and women from different parts of Canada and the United States, especially from Pine Ridge, they told me that something like this was coming. And every time, or not every time, but most of the time, to confirm these ET visits, they leave me these round stones. And I found out I have three or four of them that glowed under the black light the other night. And why, I don't know.
Have you ever heard anything like this?
I have a stone like that I was given many years ago. It's in my nightstand, in the little table beside my bed. I keep it with me always.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't glow under black light anymore, but it did years ago.
Uh-huh.
So that's another thing that you do that it does happen, is you get these little stones. What in the world could it all be about? And when you think to yourself, if this is aliens, you know, Carl Sagan said that they would be, if they ever showed up, they would be stranger than anything we could possibly imagine. And then he proceeds, when that happened, to say, it couldn't possibly be aliens, they're too strange. It is exactly that. It's extraordinarily strange. It doesn't make a lick of sense. What in the world are these little stones about? And the implants that emit a low-level FM signal. They can't be detected except for a couple of hundred feet. Well, maybe they're identifying signals that are used in some way. But wouldn't you think they could have something more sophisticated techniques than that? But it just, it doesn't add up. But as I said, and as I say in solving the communion enigma, in fact, if we studied you, for example, if a real effort was made to study your body medically, to analyze your blood, your brain, the implants, to take them seriously, and to really work with those signals while they're in your body, and to try to understand what those signals may mean, because there could be something encoded in those signals. They could be identifying marks of some kind. All kinds of things are possible. To use brain scans to analyze the way your brain functions when you remember your experiences, so that we can tell the parts of the experiences that are actual memories as opposed to the parts that are not actual memories, because all of us in this experience are struggling with what is real and what is not in what I remembered. None of us can tell for sure, and it makes it even more difficult to do. All of this could be done. There could be studies of us geographically. Where are we? Of our bloodlines, who are we? All of this is possible. No one will lift a finger. Roger Lear, now an elderly guy and has been sick, is better now, is practically alone scientifically. Steve Coburn, who she mentioned, another wonderful scientist. These guys are out on a limb practically alone doing what they do. And it's a shame. It's shameful that it's that way.
Just exploit all the resources at your command, Joanna. Yes. Stay close to your support system, and please stay in touch with us. And bless you, gal. Thank you. Thank you for contacting us.
I appreciate it. And I'm on Facebook, and you're welcome, Whitley, to review my stuff that Dr. Lear has. He has permission for that. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's pretty strong stuff, Whitley.
Well, it's horrible. I mean, she's... people are just left alone with this. I remember what it was like for me. It was like a living hell to know for certain. I'll tell you, one of the most horrendous experiences I ever had was when I first started doing media for this, because first, when I wrote Communion, I had no idea how many people were involved. But Hopkins and I thought 50 people, maybe. He had about 10 people in his support group. But it turned out to be millions, and it was horrifying. But what was even more horrifying was when I went out in the media and went to, I'll never forget it, I went on to the Phil Donahue Show, and it was a big popular program in those days. And the man skillfully, with demonic skill, orchestrated waves of laughter. He knew that laughter would poison it. The public discourse about it and demean the public discourse. And that was what he wanted to do. And I thought to myself, this is evil incarnate I'm looking at right now on this television program in front of all of these people. They don't, and they don't know it. They're all laughing. And they are laughing. It's as if you're standing in front of a tiger butt naked in the forest, and you're laughing.
Well, that's the nature of evil, isn't it, Whitley? Whitley Strieber is our guest tonight, and we have another, another segment to go as we head on into the morning. Thanks for being with us, and please stay where you are. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, thanks, everybody, all across the world. I'm not kidding you either. Romania, Bulgaria, Italy, the Netherlands, Germany, the UK. It's amazing, and from, as we say, coast to coast. All right, final segment with Whitley Strieber and your calls coming up. Stand by 2 minutes, please. This is the final segment of the Saturday night edition of Coast to Coast AM. Thanks so much for being here. All righty then, let's go immediately to Bill on wildcard line number 1 in West Hartford. Bill, if you're there, come on the bridge and talk to us.
Hi, John. Hi, hi. Whitley, hi. I'm an amateur astronomer myself, and I'm an atheist, a rational atheist, and I'm a skeptic, but I agree with you totally. There is a phenomena going on. I've read a lot of books about UFOs. I've heard you many times on Coast and Roger Lear, and it's not just Roswell that convinces me, but something much more recently, Bette Waters, Rendlesham in England, December 1980. So let me get to my two questions. I'll ask them both together, and then I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Question number one, which indirectly relates to Bentwaters, because Bentwaters is where nuclear weapons are stored. And my question is related to world events right now in the Koreas, Kim Jong-un, North Korea, South Korea, for that matter, the Middle East, Iran and Israel. If there should be a war or two wars in Korea and in regarding Israel and Iran at the same time, would the visitors, in your opinion, if you could speculate, would the visitors, the ET, whether it's overt or covert, interfere in some way so there won't be a worldwide global nuclear war? That's question number one. Number two is, instead of saying the soul, because I am an atheist, I like the term mind or consciousness. Could it be that our mind, our consciousness right now, even though our mind is connected to our brains, that our mind or our consciousness is in another dimension right now, even though we're connected to our brains, and when we die, our mind naturally exists in that other dimension, which is not heaven or hell in a religious sense?
Well, I'll start by answering the second, Claire, responding on these are not questions that are answerable, but responding to the second question. I think that the work of recent, especially work of people like Roger Penrose and Dr. David Deutsch at Oxford suggests more and more strongly that parallel universes may be physically real. And the idea that we live in a kind of a foam in which each of these universes is isolated into itself and can only see its own self, it may be true, in which case we're living in, a human being is more like, rather than an individual, which is what we feel like we are, we're more like a kind of wave front. And when one element dies, it's possible that the total focus of consciousness simply moves into another element. And this is why people are who reappear always seem to be saying so often, well, I'm fine. And what they mean is they're still living another life in which they didn't die or haven't died in that life. And maybe that goes on for quite a while and maybe for a great long time. I don't know. Now, the first question with regard to the degree of penetration of our cultural, social, and scientific evolution that's going on, there is some. As I said earlier, I know a scientist, and in fact, I know more than one scientist who has contributed the important things to scientific knowledge based on information they obtained during close encounters. I wish I could say more about that, but under the distorted circumstances in which we live, their careers would be ruined. And these are valuable careers. I would not like to be responsible for that. Now, would they interfere in a possible nuclear conflict? Since we haven't had one, I don't know. I will say this, though. Immediately, a few years after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they turned up within a few miles of the only operating nuclear strike force in the world. The 509th Bomb Wing in Roswell was 30 miles away from where the Roswell UFO incident occurred. It's an incident I know a great deal about because a relative of mine, one of my uncles, was in the Air Force at the time at Wright Field and was involved in receiving the debris that came from Roswell, and his commanding officer, General Arthur Exon, who was later commandant of Wright Pat, gave me extensive information about it, which I used in my novel, Majestic. So there could be some concern there, yes, and maybe something would happen, but I think my wife Anne probably figured out the single most important thing that they are doing in terms of affecting our society and us, and that is this. It's what's happening right now. This show is literally Contact. It is what it's about. The agonizing questions, the unanswerable, incredibly dynamic questions that we're facing and that those of us who know something is really going on are living with every day. Questions like that change you. They change your brain. They make the left brain, the intellectual part of your brain, logical part of your brain, stronger. And not only that, these changes can be passed down in generations. They become part of your genetic heritage. So it could be that this is on one level, an effort to elevate the human species to a new level of intelligence. So certainly there is social interference going on. It is very subtle and definitely designed to not shock or displace us culturally. Because if we had a situation where things that I have seen and that others have seen became part of common life, we would feel so far beneath them that it would disempower us. I was once at the World Affairs Conference at the University of Colorado talking to an astronaut, and he said to me, "You know, Whitley, you really tell a very convincing story, but I'm going to choose not to believe it. And the reason is I don't want the path to Mars to be well worn." And it takes away, if we suddenly find ourselves in a situation where we're face to face with somebody who already knows everything that we're trying to explore, it takes away the spark for us.
Yes.
You know, and they may really value that spark.
Yeah. It's the prime motivator, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because for example, in a magazine called Science, and back in April of 1977. Two prominent scientists, D.B.H. Kuyper and Michael Morris, published a brief speculation about aliens and why, if they came here, they would keep themselves hidden. And it was that if they were able to get here, it would be because they had absolutely enormous knowledge. And their reason, their only thing they could get from us that would be of any real value to them would be innovation, new ideas, and so they would hide. So that, because if they didn't, then our whole society would turn toward them, just as a primitive society in this world. When European colonists would show up in the 19th century with wonderful, or Americans in the case of the American Indians, with wonderful technology, the whole society would just turn toward that and forget all of its own traditions and everything. The culture shock was devastating.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like showing up at the Alamo with an M60.
Now, as a close encounter witness, I want to add something that Doctors Morris and Kuyper didn't think of, and that is that there's somebody out there who's real interested in our DNA and sexual material, too. But if you think about it, why wouldn't they be? Of course they are. If they're trying to understand us,
sure,
certainly they are. It shouldn't be a surprise at all.
That's interesting, Whitley. Extremely. Let's go to Laurie real quick. We've got time for maybe one more, maybe two. Laurie, wildcard line number two up in the Great White North, Alberta, Canada. Where are you?
Hi, John. Hi, Whitney. Thanks for
taking
my call.
You're welcome. What's on your mind?
My 3.5-year-old grandson. For about 8.5 months now, he's been talking about the creepy guys that come and take him at night.
Oh, dear.
The stuff that he says and stuff like that, he doesn't just come out and talk about it like if you were to ask him or something like that, he doesn't come out. He'll just come out of the blue. He'll show you a mark on him, and he'll start talking about all the stuff. I'm sorry.
You know,
it's all right. Hang in there.
You know, I was that child once. I did that when I was a child. I used to tell my parents again and again that the spacemen were coming and taking me. All I can tell you is I'm here.
We keep trying to tell ourselves, you know, maybe he's dreaming it, but if a child hasn't seen any movies or listened to any programs or anything like that, how does he know this stuff?
Well, exactly. That's how does he know it? I remember when it happened to my little boy. And I felt, in my case, because I had already remembered it and it was happening to me then as an adult, I felt a horrendous sense of responsibility. I used to sit up all night at the door of his bedroom with a shotgun and over in my lap for fear that they would come after my little boy. And, ma'am, I can just only say this, that my heart goes out to you.
Well, like my daughter right now, I mean, she doesn't live with us, of course, but, I mean, she's still up with him right now.
I'm not surprised.
It's 3:00 in the morning, and he just will not go to sleep at night. He talks about their big eyes, how skinny they are, and they take him in a spaceship. And when you ask him what they do, he says they make him lay down. And when you ask him how he gets the marks, he says, it's kind of like a pen, but it's okay. They're gentle.
It's so hard. It is so hard.
Like, what do you say to him to make him feel better? Who do you talk to?
You know, there's no infrastructure for us. Earlier, Yvonne Smith was mentioned. She's one of the few people out there who has any kind of organization. Now, you could get in contact with her. Her website is ysmith.com. I'm sure that there are other people in the same situation who she knows, who she could put you in touch with, so at least you could have some kind of dialogue with others. There is a lovely psychologist in Seattle called Janet Colley, C-O-L-L-I, who it talks with Close Encounter witnesses. It's not the center of her work, but she's been on my radio program on Dreamland, and she does talk with them. And speaking of Dreamland, I want to mention something about that show that's on this week. We've touched on evil, and we're talking tonight about a very profound evil, which is this unwillingness to look at this squarely and all the lying that's going on and the fake laughter and the extraordinary failure of government. And the program this week on Dreamland on unknowncountry.com is about evil. And it's an extraordinary show with a marvelous man called Paul Levy, who understands evil in a way that I've never heard anyone understand it as well before. So do listen to it.
Okay, thank you.
But more importantly, see if you can't get in touch with Yvonne, ysmith.com, and see what will come from there. At least you can get into some sort of support with other people that this is happening.
What's that website again?
ysmith.com.
How do you spell it, Whitley?
Y-S-M-I-T-H.
Gotcha.
Ysmith. That couldn't be simpler.
Okay.
And, you know, she's out there, and she's been doing this for years, and I can assure you that she's heard your story before.
Okay. There is another thing I was going to bring up, too. You had said earlier that kind of like the near death that people see people.
Yeah.
That have died.
Yes.
When I ask him what the creepy guys are, and he says they're kind of like a ghost.
Well, that's exactly how
they don't understand how he would even know what a ghost is either.
Well, there is something going on here that we don't understand, that's right at the edge of our understanding. And it bleeds off and takes reality into areas which we're supposed to believe aren't real. And by that I refer to things like the world of the dead. And you know, it may be that as a species evolves, because after all, we're fairly new. We're only 100,000 or so years old, I think. And it may be that as a species evolves, this veil that we have between the living and the dead, or perhaps between parallel universes, drops away. And we begin to live in a completely new and different way. And maybe your little one is part of the leading edge of this kind of life. Maybe all of us who are involved in this are.
You know, I have to be careful when you give anybody advice on a situation like this, but of course you want to comfort your child. But at the same time, I would submit to you that he is a fully actualized human being. He's just little right now, but he's complete in every way. So if it just consider this, I'm not saying do it, I'm saying consider this, pointing out to him that he is special, and to be brave and to be willing to talk to you about these things. And again, go to that website that Whitley suggested and just learn all you can, and just don't let your heart be troubled. Just don't worry about it too much. Just learn all you can about it. Comfort the child. Don't freak him out.
My daughter has been doing that. She just tries to reassure him and tell him that they bring you back, right?
And that's it.
It seems like that does calm him down a little bit, but he still won't sleep.
Well, do what you can, Mom. You're a good mom, and thank you for calling very much, Lori.
Thank you.
We're about to wrap it up here, Whitley. You got about 60 seconds to tell him how it is, okay?
All right. I wish we had more for the people who have called. It just breaks my heart. I really do. My website has a message board on it where you can join, and we have a chat in the subscriber area every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock Pacific time. You can join that chat. Dr. Roger Lear's alienscalpel.com. If you have an implant, you can get in touch with him. Von Smith is there. There are other resources out there. These aren't the only resources, but I would urge anyone who is dealing with this to go to these resources and always take your question with you. In the end, the question remains, what is this really? We don't have an answer. All we have is each other, alone in the middle of a vast universe.
That's a pretty good place to leave off, Whitley. We got to go, man. We're clean out of time. It's been a real pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
We'll be talking again soon, I'm sure. Didn't Rumsfeld say something about known unknowns and unknown unknowns? Well, what we've just experienced are some unknown knowns. Thanks to Chuck Bergman, the psychic cop, and Whitley Strieber for being with us tonight. Next Saturday, the Time Tracks men will spell out what their apparatus may suggest we're in for as things ramp up across the world. How will we fare? As Zen Master says, we'll see. Until next Saturday night and beyond, be well and good night.